Praise God. Please, you may be seated. Thank you very much, Kamal. Wasn't that a powerful offering talk from Anna? Really, really ministered to me. In fact, if that's the only thing I heard today and I went home, I'll be so blessed. Yeah, that's really powerful. I'd like to thank every single one of you here for all your prayers, for all your support, you know, for the sound team, the worship team on behalf of Passport. I just want to thank you because some of you have had to sacrifice your time to do all that, to readjust your time just to fit this service, you know. And then for me, what Anna said in the offering talk, you are doing your part right now, you know. And the Bible says if it's recorded, it will be rewarded, you know. And I thank you for all your prayers, all your support, all the encouragement you give me. You know, I feel it. I really feel it. And also the feedback that you're giving me. I like the feedback because feedback is good. It improves upon your performance and it helps your growth. So I like feedback. So for instance, one of the feedbacks that I got the last time I preached was that I move too much. I've been told I move too much. How many of you agree with that? You see, I'm glad. Because I was going to say, if they felt I moved too much, then maybe they should tie me to the pulpit. Because once I break loose, you can't catch me. You can't. And another praise God. Praise God. Another feedback that, well, I'm not even sure if this is feedback or not, but, pardon? Okay, no eye contact. Okay, that's nothing to do with me. Another feedback that I got was that, this person said to me, Godfrey, you know, I was looking at you the very first time this 9 a.m. service was announced, and when you got up in response to it, you were shaking like a mouse. So shaking like a mouse. So, well, I can't actually argue with you. Maybe you're right. Yeah, so I felt it was really hard, so maybe you're very right. But then 2 weeks later, after I'd finished preaching the very first time, somebody also came to me and said, Godfrey, you surprised me. I didn't know you had that in you. You surprised me. So 1 week I'm a mouse, the next minute I'm a surprise. I like to call it the mice surprise. But you know, the mouse surprise. But you see, it's funny. God uses the mice of this world, the seemingly insignificant things of this world, to surprise people. Doesn't he do that? He does that all the time. Shall we look at 1 Corinthians chapter 1, please? 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 27. Look at this. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 27. It says, but God chose what is foolish in the world to shame the wise. God chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong. In other words, what God is saying is, look, let's carry on 28. God chose what is slow and despised in the world, even things that are not, to bring to nothing things that are, 29, so that no human being might boast in the presence of God. In other words, what he's saying is, look, it's not by your might, it's not by your power, it's not by your wisdom, it's not by your strength, it's not by your understanding, it's nothing to do with you. It's by my power, it's by my spirit in you that you're able to do that with you. So stop condemning yourself. Stop looking down upon yourself. Stop belittling yourself. Refuse to accept any image of yourself that you have that does not line up with the will of God and purpose for your life, because it is not by your might or by your power, but it's the spirit that is at work in you that makes all the difference. Hallelujah. Do you know that any single time you fail to line up yourself with who God says you are, or what God says you can do, or where he says you can go, you're actually questioning his intelligence? Do you know that? Anytime you fail to line up yourself with what God says you are questioning his intelligence. Romans 9:20, gifty please. Romans 9:20, I'll show you something there right now. Romans chapter 9, verse 20. Look at this. Romans chapter 9, verse 20. It says, but who are you, O man, to answer back to God? Well, what is molded say to his mother, why have you made me like this? Do you even dare to challenge God? He formed you, he created you. He said, I know you can do this. And yet you are saying, no, I can't. No, I can't. We have to repent. You know, and it's my prayer that, you know, after this message, God will open your eyes to see things the way you really have to see them. I honestly believe that God wants to take us somewhere. I believe that he wants to elevate us. I strongly believe that he wants to exceed our every expectation. But unless we begin to see things the way he sees it, or understand things the way he understands it, we might end up being what we are. And that's not what he has for us. Hallelujah. And to help me drive this point across, I want us to look at 1 Samuel, the book of Samuel, 1 Samuel chapter 10. 1 Samuel. But before I read that, I want to give you a background information before I get there. So Israel had reached a point in their life, the nation of Israel, they had reached a point in their life where they thought, you know what, we don't need God anymore. You know, we want to be, not exactly we don't need God anymore, but they said, we want to be like all the others, all the other nations. We want a king, just like all the other nations around us. We want a king. We want to be like that. It's almost like saying, God, we don't have anything to do with you anymore. It's a form of rejection. Say, God, we are rejecting. We want to be like everyone else. We don't want to be, we don't, because before then they had judges and Samuel was the judge at the time. I said, no, we want to be like everyone. We want a king who will lead us to battle, a king who will lead us to war. And so Samuel, who was the prophet at the time, went to God and said, God, this is what your children are saying. They want a king like everybody else. And God said, look, it's not you they've rejected, but they have rejected me as king over their lives. You know, and at times we reject God by our actions. We reject God by the things we say. We reject God by the things we do. At times we can even reject God emotionally. You could be here and then your mind will be miles away. You know, nothing to do, not even within the four walls of this building. And for me, it's just like somebody offers you maybe a Porsche or a Ferrari. And then you say, no, I don't want that. I want a bicycle instead. That's going right from there to down. That's how it is. You're laughing, but that's how it is. Because you've got God as your king, as your ruler. You say, no, I don't want that. Or someone takes you to a five-star or a Michelin-star restaurant, and when the food comes with all the dressing and everything, you look at it and say, no, I don't want this. I want Sam's chicken or chicken cottage because it's two for two. I mean, how ridiculous is this? And that is how it sounds. Really, that's how it sounds when you've got God on your side. And that's how it sounds. And so that's the story. And so God says to Samuel, you know what? I've identified somebody, Saul. I want you to anoint him as king over my people. So that's where it starts. So the Bible says, then Samuel took a flask of oil and poured it on his head and kissed him and said, says, then Samuel took a flask. Now, it doesn't mean he actually kissed him. It's the way they used to greet, you know, people who in the east, you know, or people who came from that side, that's the like, you know, the way we would shake hands, they would kiss you on your cheek, you know. I don't know how many of you know Reza. Yeah, he does that a lot. He will see you and he'll hug you and kiss you. And yeah. So anytime I see Reza coming from the west, I head east because I'm thinking, is he coming to kiss me again? But anyway, so see what happens. It says, has not the Lord anointed you to be prince over his people Israel? And you shall reign over the people of the Lord, and you will save them from the hand of their surrounding enemies. And this shall be the sign to you that the Lord has anointed you to be prince over his heritage. Next verse, please. Verse 2, please. It's frozen. Sorry about this guy. It says, when you depart from me today, you will meet two men by Rachel's tomb in the territory of Benjamin, Al-Zelzah. And they will say to you, the donkeys that you went to seek are found. And now your father has ceased to care about the donkeys and is anxious about you, saying, what shall I do about my son? I just want to stop here before I carry on. I just want to say something here. He was worried about the donkeys that was lost. No. If only he knew that God was working behind the scenes to elevate not just his son, but the whole family. Because if somebody in your family becomes a king, the whole family prospers. If only he knew that God was working behind the scenes to elevate him, he would stop worrying and start praising. That's what I'm seeing from here. You know, the Bible says in Philippians that we should not be anxious about anything. That in everything, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, we should bring thanks to God. You know, and it's a word for somebody here, you know. One day you look back and you realize that every single thing that you thought was good, that you were denied, it was God actually working behind the scenes to redirect your path to something better. And this is the word for somebody. Hallelujah. Next verse, please. Then you shall go on from there and come to the Oak of Tabor. Three men going up to God at Bethel will meet you there. one carrying three young goats, another carrying three loaves of bread, another carrying a skin of wine. And they will greet you and give to you two loaves of bread, which you shall accept from their hand. After that, you shall come to Kibbeth Elohim, where there is a garrison of the Philistines. And there, as soon as you come to the city, you will meet a group of prophets coming down from the high place with a harp, tambourine, flute, and lyre before them, prophesying. Then the Spirit of the Lord will rush upon you, and you will prophesy with them and be turned into another man. Let me read that again. Then the Spirit of the Lord will rush upon you, and you will prophesy with them and be turned into another man. Now, how many of you know that when the Spirit of God is upon you, you're a different person? You begin to do things that you couldn't even do before. You are a completely different person. I remember growing up as a child. I'm the second of three boys. You know, when you're growing up, you know, as children, your parents will ask you, what do you want to do when you grow up? And then the older brother will say, hey, I want to be a professor, I want to be a this, I want to be a that. And then the younger one will say, yeah, I want to be a doctor, I want to be this and that. And then they will ask me, what do you want to do? I say, I want to become a carpenter. Now, if in Africa, when you're growing up, you don't exactly want to become a carpenter, especially if your parents put in so much in you, they invest so much in you. Being a carpenter is the last thing, you know, they expect you to become. So when, you know, then it was O-level. When my O-level came in, I didn't do too well. My dad looked at me and said, oh, you're so lucky. If I had a gun, I would shoot you. You know, in other words, you are useless. You know, we don't need you here. I would shoot you. Anyway, so, you know, my brother carries on. He studies hard. He gets a scholarship to the U.S. He becomes a doctor. He gets a contract with the U.S. Army. You know, in their science department, they are coming up with new inventions. In fact, after that, you know, at the moment, they are coming up with this, and they're the only people doing this, actually. They are researching into ways of detecting cancer at its very early stages using fiber optics. And when I spoke to him 2 weeks ago, I think he said they're actually doing clinical trials. And my younger brother, you know, he used to, until he resigned to start his own business, he used to write programs for Vodafone and all that. So you've got a biochemical scientist here, you've got a programmer here, and then you've got a carpenter. I see why my dad wanted to shoot me. So anyway, that is how, Saul felt. You know, that is how he felt, because he was a nobody in his eyes. And I know that because the Bible says when someone said he wanted to anoint him, he said, me? I'm from the tribe of Benjamin, the least of all the tribes. And not only that, the family that I come from is the least of all the family in the clan. That's what he said. I mean, the Bible says, you know, he was tall and good looking. And all the ladies say amen to that. But apart from that, there's nothing else. You know, he was so insecure. But when the Spirit came upon him, he became a different person. Even people did not recognize him anymore. People were saying, is this Kish? Is this Kish? Is this Saul, the son of Kish? Is he also a prophet? Is he also a prophet? They were so surprised. Can anything good come out of Nazareth? You know, and maybe you may be here this morning and you'll be thinking, can anything good come out of me? Can anything good come out of this situation? Can anything good come out of this marriage, this job? You're asking yourself. But when the Spirit of God rests upon you, it makes all the difference. Hallelujah. You would remember if you were here for the conference with Ken God, he said something. He said, heaven pours and we measure. And he went on to give an example with this widow. He said the widow went to the prophet Elisha. Was it Elisha or Elijah? I can't remember. I think it's Elisha. And she said, my husband is dead. And as a result, his creditors have come to take my children away and they've made slaves out of them. But I need to redeem my children. And then Elisha said to him, what have you got? And she said, all I've got is a jar of oil. I said, that will do, bring it. So she brought it, and the instruction Elisha gave her was this: go around to all your neighbors and borrow as many empty jars as you can. As many as you can. So she goes and she borrows it and she brings it. And the moment she brings it, Elisha says to her, now fill every single jar with the oil. So she takes the jar and she fills every single jar with the oil, until all the jars were full. Now the Bible says that the moment all the jars were full, that is when the oil stopped flowing. The moment, in other words, she didn't make any more room for the oil, and that is why it stopped. That is why. And if you like, we are the jars, and the oil is the anointing from the Spirit. As long as we make room for the Spirit, He'll keep flowing and flowing and flowing and flowing. There's no restriction to what the Holy Spirit can do. As long as we make room in ourselves for the Spirit, there's no restriction at all. You know, and at times we measure things, like he said. The way we behave, the way we act, restrict the flow of the Holy Spirit. Now, there's nothing wrong in measuring. There's nothing wrong. As long as the unit of measurement you're using corresponds with that of heaven, there's absolutely nothing wrong with measurement. Now, if you remember the story of David and Goliath, now the Bible says every morning for 40 days or so, Goliath will come in front of the armies and then shout, rain abuse on the children of Israel. And none of them could face up to him because they were afraid. And what was happening is they were measuring Goliath. Oh, look how tall he is. Look how big he is. Look at his shield. Look at his sword. And that generated fear in them. Now they were using the wrong unit of measurement to measure him. That is why it generated fear. Now comes a boy that who is nobody, a boy that nobody even knows, a boy that nobody even gave a chance. He comes on the scene and he starts to measure Goliath too. But what he sees is an uncircumcised Philistine. What he sees is somebody who is disrespecting his God. And in the eyes of God, he's so small. In fact, he's so small, he thought, I don't need a spear or a bow and arrow to defeat him. All I need is a stone. And that is why he was able to hit him. Now he used the right unit of measurement, heaven's measurement. So he saw Goliath from heaven's perspective. That is why he was able to bring him down. And I pray that God will open your eyes to see things from his perspective. Hallelujah. The Bible says Jesus went into the wilderness full of the Spirit, but he returned in the power of the Spirit. It's two things. He went there full of the Spirit, but he returned in the power of the Spirit. You know, and I like to say that this morning that a lot of us are full of the Spirit, but where is the power? Where is the power? You are full of the Spirit. And I know you are full of the Spirit because the initial sign of the presence of the Spirit is speaking in tongues. So I know you've got the Spirit, but where is the power? Where is it? Is God lying? No, he's not lying. The Bible says it's not man that he should lie, or even the Son of Man that he should change his mind. Has he not said it? Will he not do it? Even if God wanted to lie, he can't. If I asked you what's the color of this thing I'm wearing and you said pink, you would have lied. But if I asked God what's the color of this and God said it was pink, this thing will have to change into pink because he doesn't lie. Whatever he says comes to pass. So if he says you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, that's exactly what he means. So where is the power? Where is the power? You know, is it because he's not giving us enough of the Spirit? That's why we are not seeing the power. And I ask myself that question every single time. Where is the power? Where is the power? Give to please Joel chapter 2, 28. Joel chapter 2. Listen to this. It says, and it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour my Spirit on all flesh. Now watch, he's pouring again. Like Pastor Ken's, heaven is always pouring. I will pour my Spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams, and your young men shall see visions. 29. Even on the male and female servant. He doesn't make any exception here. Even servants, he pours out his Spirit on all of them. It says, even the male and female servants, in those days, I will pour my Spirit upon all flesh. So what is the excuse? There's no measurement. There's no restriction. He's pouring out every single thing. He's poured out every single thing. And I keep asking myself, God, I keep asking myself this question. God, where is the power then? Where is the power? Where is the power? What is it, you know? So all the all nights, all the half nights, all the morning times that we've been praying, where is the power? Could we be doing something wrong? You know, and I found something, you know, the level of authority that you walk in as a child of God, or the level of power that you exercise as a child of God, is directly proportional to your degree of submission. That is it. The level of authority you walk in and the level of power you walk in is proportional to your degree of submission. So if you're not yielding to the Holy Spirit in that sense, then you're not seeing the power because you're not yielding. Because you're doing all the all nights, all the half nights, everything, but you're not yielding. And so where is it? And it's not just in your spiritual life. That woman was in need of money. And when she yielded to the voice of the Spirit through Elisha, she saw abundance. You could be at work and suddenly the Spirit would say, make that call, make that call, make that call. And it probably wouldn't make sense to you, but you listen to the voice of the Spirit and you make that call and makes the difference between where you are and that £1 million contract. Just because you yielded to the voice of the Spirit. I remember when Prophet Kathy came here, she said something to a gentleman. She said to him, "Are you part of the welcome team?" And the gentleman said, "Oh, I've been failing to be part of the welcome team." And Prophet Kathy said, "You never know who'd walk through that door one day, and that will make a difference in your whole life." You know, it's all about yielding to the Holy Spirit. If we want to walk in power, if we want to see that level of degree of excellence or whatever it is, it's all about yielding to the voice of the Spirit. You have to yield in your daily life. You have to yield. You spend time with God. You yield to the voice of the Spirit. And you see the difference. You know, I heard a story once of a guy who was sat in the passenger seat of his friend. And at the moment he sat in and he put on the seatbelt, and he felt the Holy Spirit saying, "Look, remove the seatbelt, remove the seatbelt." And he removed it. And it didn't feel right, so he put it back on again. And for the second time, the Holy Spirit said, "Remove the seatbelt." And he did that. And he thought, "I'm going against the law. I can't do this." So he put it back again. And for the third time, the Holy Spirit said, "Remove the seatbelt." And then he removed it. Seconds after he'd removed it, the car hit a tree. And the impact of the crash broke one of the branches. And it went through the windscreen and straight through the chair that he was sitting in. Now, the only thing that saved him was that because he wasn't wearing the seatbelt, it threw him off the chair, okay? And that is how he missed, you know? And he was surprised, you know? He was surprised at what God did, you know? All because he yielded, you know? So if we want to see exploits, if we want to see God do things in our life that is beyond our imagination, we need to start yielding. We need to start submitting. And that's the place where I am now, because at times you have to give up your will and let the Holy Spirit take control. You understand? That's what you have to do. You need to learn to yield. Look at this, what the Bible says in Ephesians 3:20. Look at this. Ephesians 3:20. I'm sure you know all that. Ephesians 3:20. It says, "Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all we ask or think, according to the power that is at work within us, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generation." To him who is able to do immeasurably more than we can think, according to the power, how much of him you allow. How much, and don't forget, power is also a unit of measurement, by the way. How much of him you allow. You see, he would do things that would beat your imagination. He would do things that you couldn't even think he could do. I mean, I know stories and stories and stories of people who have yielded to God and as a result have seen such a breakthrough that they couldn't have imagined in a million years that it could have happened. Hallelujah. And this morning I pray that, you know, as God will open your eyes, God will open your minds, that you begin to see things from his perspective. I know that, and I, you know, you see, when you... The Bible is a book that leads us through life. You know, you get advice from it, you get encouragement from it, you get all sorts from the Bible. But when you get a specific word at a specific season, it's an idea or an intention of what God wants to do in your life. So that when God said to Jonah, you know, "Tell the people or the people in the city of Nineveh that in 40 days, you know, I'm going to do the land is going to be destroyed," he was saying, "Look, this word is coming because I see that this city is going to be destroyed. And unless you change your ways, you know, you would all die." And so that specific word was for them to change their ways. And anytime I see God concerning this morning service, this is the word I'm getting. So that tells me God wants to do something. So he's preparing your minds to begin to do something. But until you begin to submit and yield, maybe you would not see that. I want you to stand on your feet. Now, you see, the Bible says every sin that you commit will be forgiven. Every single sin you commit will be forgiven. The only sin that God cannot forgive you or that God will hold against you is when you blaspheme against the Holy Spirit. Now, that tells me how much value he places on the Spirit. He places so much value on the Spirit that even if you sin against the Holy Spirit, he's going to hold you against you. And yet, despite all that, not only does he give you the Spirit, but he decides to pour the Spirit on you. That tells me one thing. He wants to see you prosper in a way that you can never even imagine. That is the idea. But that cannot happen unless you begin to yield to the Holy Spirit. That cannot happen unless you begin to yield to the Holy Spirit. That cannot happen unless you begin to yield to the Holy Spirit. And maybe you're here, you're saying, but How do I even yield to the Spirit? How do I even yield to the Spirit? How do I even yield to the Spirit? I spent so many hours praying. I spent so many hours fasting. I'm still not hearing the voice of the Spirit. How do I yield? And it's just by waiting on Him and having the faith that He will talk back to you. Because anytime you communicate, communication is a two-way process. You talk to God, God talks back to you. And as we stand in His presence right now, I want you to lift up your voice to Him right now. And I always like to start these things with apologies, because say to the Spirit, I'm sorry for every single time that I ignored what you have to say. I'm sorry for every single time that I didn't yield to you. I'm sorry for every single time that I ignored you. Father, I lift your children before you this morning. I thank you for revealing to us the purpose of your will for our lives, that you want to exceed our every expectation, God. As we sing this song, just open your heart completely to God. Open up to Him completely and say, Holy Spirit, have your way. I want to see that abundant life that you promised. I want to see that life, that power that you promised. I want to go on to the next level of my life, because I know your call upon me, Holy Spirit, it's more than just where I am now. No matter where you are in life, you can't tell me you've peaked. There's always room for improvement. In fact, God takes over where you think you've peaked.
Shekinah glory come. Shekinah glory come.